to Not Great, our weekly podcast on, it's exactly what it sounds like, everything happening in the world that is not great. I'm Sachi Cole, I'm a culture writer at BuzzFeed News, and I'm your Sherpa through garbage. Hello, Father.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm well.
So today's episode is about Ellen DeGeneres and the allegations that came up around like her workplace culture.
Yes.
Do you have any thoughts?
I'm really shocked to find out as to that there was no substance to the whole facade that she had created with be kind to each other and buy my underwear. And she has to pay for it, I guess. She has to fall on her petard, as they say. If that's the right word I'm using.
Today's topic is, frankly, something I'm not that well-versed in. Kindness. Despite my meager efforts, I don't think I'm someone that people would generally consider kind. When I was first hired at BuzzFeed, the company had a, quote, no haters allowed policy. BuzzFeed, like a lot of modern media organizations, was in part founded on the premise that kindness is king. I distinctly remember reading that in the employee handbook and thinking to myself, well, everyone involved in this particular hiring decision has made a huge mistake. But that was then, and now, 5 years later, BuzzFeed is in part responsible for unmasking the truth about the world's nicest mean lady in Hollywood, Ellen DeGeneres. In late July, BuzzFeed News reporter Christy Yandoli published a barn burner of a story, all about how the Ellen Show's mantra, be kind, was really just a cover for a deeply toxic work environment. One employee told Christy, quote, that be kind bullshit only happens when the cameras are on. It's all for show. The allegations vary from being fired after taking medical or bereavement leave, to being told not to speak to DeGeneres herself if they saw her in the office, to shitty jokes from senior level producers about how they can't tell their black employees apart. I mean, that's objectively unfunny, but, you know, it's okay. It's not like this is a show helmed by a comedian or anything. Then, last week, Christy ruined Ellen's life again when she reported allegations of sexual harassment and misconduct from head writer and executive producer Kevin Lehman. DeGeneres herself apparently apologized to her staff. Plus, there's that time that Ellen forgave Kevin Hart for his anti-gay jokes, again, jokes is in scare quotes here, that got him fired from hosting the Oscars. Or maybe the time that she defended her friendship with President George W. Bush, using be kind, no less, the same George W. Bush who was in part responsible for the deaths of hundreds of thousands of Iraqis. I know Not Great is all about the no good, very bad news we have to deal with every week, but I would be remiss if I didn't tell you the truth about how I feel about this story. I fucking love it, man. It is the perfect end to a decade-long narrative DeGeneres and her show have propagated through cloying marketing and aggressively heartwarming television segments. For example, thinly veiled commercials for more shit that benefits DeGeneres. You know Ellen sells a Be Kind seasonal subscription box? The marketing for the box says that it champions brands that spread kindness. You know what brands she's talking about. Noted kindness spreaders like, let me just consult my notes here. A $20 hair towel and an ice cube tray that stamps Be Kind into every cube you make. Great. Okay, I want one. I could drop a big cold brick of Be Kind into my evening glass of codeine cough syrup, which allows me the sweet release of forgetting that I must be alive through this. Through all this. In short, Be Kind is artifice for the unafflicted to feel like they're helping. And I've always said I'd rather someone punch me in the teeth and call my mother a dingleberry than have them do nothing at all and act like that's noble and good. The cult of kindness doesn't actually make people kinder. It gives them a catchphrase for performative compassion. And in DeGeneres' case, it's especially fraught because she's still a queer woman who paved the way through a pretty brutal public outing that nearly destroyed her career. But that doesn't mean that now, 15 years into a wildly successful new show, her income ballooned to a number that I don't think I can even pronounce, that she can ignore what's happening at the workplace built on her name. Besides, two things can be true at once. We can be grateful to DeGeneres' contributions and her position as a trailblazer, while also not defending her allegedly toxic workplace. Also, why do people think it's cute that she scares people all the time? That's not funny! How is having spontaneous diarrhea because your boss sent you to a haunted house against your will even remotely close to being nice? I hate being told to be nice. It's never from people who deserve my kindness, but rather from people who are rattled by criticism. Kindness without context is just willful ignorance. I'd rather know how exactly I should be kind right now and where that should be directed. Do you want me to be kind to politicians who aren't doing shit about coronavirus while schools inexplicably open up this fall? Do you want me to be nice to a certain WNBA team co-owner who tried to stop her players from wearing Black Lives Matter t-shirts to their games? Do you want me to make friends with the man who keeps emailing me, like clockwork, every 6 months asking me why I'm, quote, so angry? Why aren't you fucking angry, Jeremy? Look outside! What I do have is a modest proposal and this humble, humble podcast that you should be telling your friends about. If you're like me and you don't want to be nice, then use this motto instead. Be receptive. It's not as catchy, and I don't imagine BuzzFeed will be releasing a seasonal subscription box around it, but I do think it's a more accurate request for the current world we live in. Be receptive to criticism of when you fail. Be receptive to giving and receiving empathy. Be receptive to adjusting when you don't know the whole story. Be kind is black and white. It's high time we start looking at the world in living color. Next up, I'm going to chat with Christy Yandoli herself and try to get her to say something that will really upset our newsroom lawyer. He's on vacation this week. How fun for me. I'm so excited. We have Christy Yandoli here. She's our entertainment news reporter at BuzzFeed News. Hi, Christy.
Hey, Sachi. I'm so excited to chat with you.
Oh, I'm so glad you're here. And I think the place I want to start is I'm curious what it's like to be the most hated person in the DeGeneres DeRossi household. I would love if you could describe the feeling.
It is hard to describe that feeling. You know, in complete honesty, I grew up watching Ellen and I grew up watching Portia on Arrested Development. I was a fan of both, and Ellen's place in history is always going to be what it is. She's an incredibly significant person to the LGBTQ community, to women. She paved the way, and I watched The Ellen Show forever. So to think about not being popular in their household, to think about them knowing who I am is, quite frankly, just insane unto itself.
Oh, Christy, you're popular in my household, so you can take that to the bank if you need it.
That means everything to me, Sachi. Thank you.
Earlier in the show, we talked a lot around that, like, be kind marketing that Ellen herself and Ellen as the show are very much built on, at least for the last 15 years. Do you think part of the frustration coming from her employees is because of that dichotomy between the marketing and the alleged reality?
Absolutely. I think that that is a huge reason why everybody cares about this, including every single former employee that I have who I've spoken to. They all say that a huge part of their issue with their experiences on the show is that it's in direct contrast to the be kind messaging that Ellen profits off of. She makes about $50 million a year on the show alone. And she's a brand. I mean, I hate the word empire, but like she has shows off of shows and she has her Be Kind subscription box every month. And she has the Game of Games show. She has Heads Up. And it's all just rooted in the Be Kind messaging. So I think for a lot of former employees, that was part of their problem was they're experiencing what they call toxicity behind the scenes. And yet they're making this show that's preaching be kind, you know, according to one employee, be kind to everyone but your employees. And then also, I think that's a huge reason why everybody cares about this is they've been sold that message. Viewers hear Ellen say be kind, for what, 17 years now. And it just doesn't match up with what employees are saying they experienced.
Right. Something else that's been happening in the aftermath of your stories, there's a lot of celebrities that have been tweeting and Instagramming their support of Ellen. Kevin Hart did it. Diane Keaton did it. The Diane Keaton one hurt. That one hurt me personally.
It broke my heart. I love Diane Keaton. I watch Something's Gotta Give 300 times a year.
You know what? Having great pants is not a cure-all for everything, but you know, a lot of these celebrities were like, this is impossible. She was nice to me, as if like being nice to a famous person counts for anything real. I mean, what do you think is going on there?
I've spoken to a lot of former employees who are not happy about that, because their criticism is, how could a few celebrity guests possibly have any idea of a day-to-day workplace environment that goes on behind the scenes with much less fame? You know, these people are not famous who work on the Ellen show. They're just people like you and I, and they're, you know, working for their paychecks. And so their treatment is obviously different in general. Think about the world we live in. And actually, it's prompted even more people to reach out to me who used to work on the show because they were so dismayed. They were especially not happy with Portia's initial Instagram post, because to them, it read as almost a campaign. She posted a photo that was like a text photo that said, I stand by Ellen. And they read it as almost like something that was meant to be screenshotted and reposted by whoever, which is in some cases what happened. So there were people who were like, this isn't a movement to support Ellen. And by doing that, you're discounting our experiences.
You know, I have been on the record that I think cancel culture is not real and I don't care about it, but I am curious about your thoughts on it, because it does feel like there are a lot of people, myself included, who kind of love these sorts of stories. Like, I feel a little bit like a pig in shit. Like, I'm like, ooh, delicious. So I wonder if you have thoughts on like why we like these kinds of tales.
I think in terms of like what's happening with Ellen and the quote unquote cancel culture around this, it is different, because we published a series of reports that have been corroborated. And we've spoken to, at this point, you know, more than 50 former employees and reached out for their comments. And to me, a report about the workplace environment and allegations of racism and sexual harassment and misconduct are different than a celebrity gossip story that's like, Ellen is mean, or let's cancel and replace Ellen. And obviously, unfortunately, sometimes those things get conflated on the internet in a certain news cycle, but they are different. You know, wanting someone to be held and wanting that system to be held accountable.
Right. But this is also like completely different from like a bad old tweet resurfacing and people being reminded that you said this, and then like persistent allegations around behavioral issues at a workplace that you are responsible for.
It's super different to have continuous reports from more than 50 former employees who are speaking out about a range of what they're calling toxicity is definitely a different thing than a mean or racist tweet showing up, because according to our former employees who we've spoken to, there's an established pattern of behavior from very senior level executive producers. And yeah, that is a very different thing than an ill-timed Instagram post or a bad joke or a photo with George W. Bush even.
Well, I mean, I hated that, but
I don't think many people liked it. And yet it's still, because even if you talk about people's criticism of Ellen, people criticized the George W. Bush photo. People made a lot of jokes about the Dakota Johnson interview, was it? So there's that criticism, which, whether that's warranted or not, it's still different than allegations of a toxic work environment for a range of reasons.
Right. And also, you know who hasn't said a word? Dakota Johnson. She's just sitting at home, I imagine, brushing her hair 100 strokes on each side.
Dakota Johnson is on my list of absolute dream interviews. I would do almost anything to talk to her.
I'm curious if you think this says something about how much things have or haven't changed. Does it mean something that we're now willing to hold people, even from marginalized groups, accountable for what they might do to other people? Or does it mean nothing because we're still having these conversations?
It's a hard question to answer, because I would say that, you know, even in reporting this story, a lot of people are still very, very, very afraid to speak out and share their experiences because they are afraid of Ellen. However, there are still people who want to share their experiences because they want that to change and they want to see that change. We haven't really seen a lot of television shows and sets held accountable in this way after 2017. So I think, you know, maybe this could be the start of that. And in terms of what that concrete change looks like, you know, executive producers told employees the name of a specific HR person at Warner Brothers who is designated to working on the show, and, you know, a direct line of communication in regards of that, which people are happy about. I think former employees also want a sense of like, okay, is executive producer Ed Glavin fired? Is he going to stay on or not? No one has addressed that yet.
It's so strange that that is still like a hovering rumor that no one is actually discussing openly from the show.
There are some pretty strong rumors he's been fired or he's no longer at the show. There is no confirmation though, and there's also no confirmation he's still not on Warner Brothers payroll in some capacity, just not as an executive producer at the show. People don't want to see him working there, former employees and current employees, because according to more than 50 former and current employees, Glavin led with intimidation and fear, and, you know, there are allegations of sexual harassment and misconduct. So people don't want him there, and yet nobody has addressed Ed Glavin at all to them or with them, nor have they addressed the role of head writer Kevin Lehman to them, who there are rumors he was fired, but there's absolutely no confirmation. They want to see some accountability, not just, I'm sorry this happened, I had no idea, but kind of owning up to her role in this, because according to them, she has a role in this. It's her face, it's her name. Maybe she was blind to stuff, but according to former employees, that takes an active level of awareness to ignore what everyone else knew about. You know, Ellen is not going anywhere. She makes the Warner Brothers, I think the show is like $30 million a year it earns them. She has all her brands. It would really, really take a lot for Ellen to, although it should be said that Ellen has gone on the record saying she is kind of ready to leave TV.
Yeah, she's over it.
Yeah, there's a New York Times profile of her in 2018, right when she was promoting her Netflix stand-up special. And she was like, yeah, my contract's kind of up. I don't really know what to do. She's been toying with the idea. So even if she left, it wouldn't be recent events that totally, totally made her do it. But I think it would really take a lot for Ellen to leave. But people want to see her acknowledge her role in ignoring, even if she didn't know, they say she ignored what was going on.
Okay. This is an important question. Who do you think is nicer, Ellen DeGeneres or me?
Well, Saatchi, I know you.
That's a shame.
And I've met you.
Mm-hmm.
And you have been nicer to me directly. And I think that would be the fairest thing to say.
I like that we're keeping the bar real low. That I met you is enough. I love that.
I have spent time with, well, compared to Ellen.
I love it. I'm just hopping over this low-ass bar. That's
it's a
what
low
I like.
Bar.
It's a low bar, but it's a bar. Christy, thank you so much for coming on. I really appreciate it. I can't wait for your next story.
Thanks, Saatchi.
One more thing. If any of you out there are a current or former Ellen employee, or maybe you just have some information you'd like to share, please reach out to Christy at krystie.yandoli@buzzfeed.com. Christy is the best, so go talk to her.
Did you see my picture I sent earlier about we did today?
Yes, I would love if you could explain what that is.
That is, we generally cook yellow rice, which signifies auspicious beginnings, a religious day, a birthday for the start of your podcasting.
That's very nice.
Ended up eating all of that bowl. I never eat rice at lunchtime, but one should live dangerously once in a while.
Yeah, I mean, rice is the heroine of carbohydrates.
Normally we eat big bowl of salad, salad as they call it.
No one calls it that, just you.
French call it salad.
That is because they are speaking in French.
Is this time paid? this time that you are wasting with me about talking nonsense.
Okay, we survived another week. So let's wrap it up with my favorite segment, where we find something nice on the internet that makes us laugh, and we ask ourselves, is that anything? This week, a moment of joy is provided by Tyler on TikTok, who is bravely speaking out against wind instrument propaganda.
I don't believe trumpets are real. I'm saying it. There's only three motherfucking pushy things. How you playing all that bullshit? I don't believe it. And whatever explanation y'all will show me in these comments, don't care, because y'all are part of this system. Y'all are part of this game.
Finally, someone speaking truth to trumpets. Is that anything? So, before you go, we wanted to ask our Canadian listeners to send in some questions they have about the American election process. We're coming up on the conventions, which will effectively be an awkward work call at this point, and the election itself is just more than 80 days away. I know, as a fellow non-American, that this system makes no sense. Anyone, even any American who claims they totally get it, is a liar. So, send us your questions via email, or even better, a voice memo if you can do it, to notgreat@buzzfeed.com, and we'll get you an answer. Oh, and one more thing. If you've been enjoying the show thus far, we would really appreciate it if you could leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or Stitcher or wherever else you're listening. I know it's practically mundane at this point for podcast hosts to beg listeners to leave good reviews, but it really does help, and I am not above begging, Jeremy. That said, if you don't like the show, you don't need to say anything. That's fine. Your silence is a gift unto itself. All right, that's the week. It's not great, but who knows? Maybe next week will be better. Not Great is a production of BuzzFeed News and Embassy Row. Our executive producers are Carolina Vatslaviak, Charlotte Sims, Samantha Hennig, Julia Cassidy, Anna Marie Johnson, and Barry Jean Dorman. The show is edited by Maureen Begas. Today's episode was written and produced by me, and our theme music is by Shawnee Cage. You can follow me on Twitter or Instagram @Saachi, that's S-C-A-A-C-H-I, or email the show at notgreat@buzzfeed.com. Smell you later. So your thoughts on episode one are literally it's good and that's it. You have no feedback on how we could improve?
The taping could have been a little bit more sharp. Now that will be probably resolved with this new system that you have.
Yeah, you're going to sound crystal clear this time.
That's wonderful. And that naturally the millions of unwashed will be blown out of their complacence when they listen to what I say.